In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For over 1,500 years, Christians just like you guys have been coming into churches just like this one for 1,500 years, and in the liturgy have been saying these words, Kyrie eleison. That's a long time. Kyrie in Greek is Lord, and eleison is mercy. Lord, have mercy. Now, it's so simple, and yet, just think of that, that the church has thought for the last, and really, honestly, we don't know how far past 1,500 years. Otherwise, I would say even more. It could have been the last 1,800 years, but you know, you don't have all the records of the early liturgies. So, for a long time, they've thought this prayer is good. And we often do it, I don't know if you've ever noticed, we often do it three times. That's what we did this morning. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord, we sang it. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. And that's for the Trinity. So Lord have mercy, the Father, Christ have mercy, the Son, Lord have mercy, the Holy Spirit. Now, you'd think after 1,500 years or more of saying this that we would all really know what we're saying, but that's the trouble with language sometimes. So the word mercy is not a word we use in English very much. So what even does it mean? If somebody said to you, well, what's mercy? Would you be able to give a real quick answer, or would you kind of stumble around? So we need to know, what really is mercy? And to put it the very simplest, mercy is just help when you're in need. Help when you're in need. That's all mercy is. Now, it's pretty broad, but that's the thing about mercy. It is broad. It covers all kinds of things. It's any help that you need when you're in need. A little redundant there. Any help you need. That's mercy. So in the gospel reading today, Jesus is going into Jericho. He's not in there yet. And on the side of the road is a beggar. And we're all familiar with this because it still happens today. We're just in cars instead of walking. So there's a beggar there, and what beggars would say is, have mercy. Help me. Okay, that was their, you know, that was their line. Today, the equivalent of that would be a cardboard sign. That's how we know they're a beggar, right? Because we can't hear them saying anything, because we're in our cars, you know, we got the windows up and the music on. So they hold a sign, and it doesn't say have mercy, at least I've never seen one that says have mercy, but it says something like, please help, you know, need help, out of work, whatever. So that's what this was in the first century. This beggar Bartimaeus cries out, Lord, have mercy. He's asking for help. Now, do you think he's asking for money? Probably. Yeah, I mean, there's a good chance. That's probably what he usually asks for, is money. But, of course, this time, something is a little different. Now, everybody at the beginning is like, be quiet, don't bother Jesus. Now, I have a feeling they probably think he's just asking for money. That's why they're like, just hush up, don't even bother Jesus. But Jesus says, no, I'll bring him here, I'll hear him. And here are Jesus' words. These are so important. Here are Jesus' words. They bring this blind beggar Bartimaeus to him, and he says, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Right? And when you hear those words, something ought to get us a little bit where we say, man, how weak are my prayers often? Here's Jesus saying, what do you want me to do for you? Right? You asked for mercy. I'm the God of mercy. I abound in mercy. What would you like me to do for you? And then when Bartimaeus hears that, the thought of money, see, he doesn't care about money. No. Let me see, he says. So picture mercy then is this big spring, this big fountain that just never stops bubbling out, right? It never ever runs dry. And from that spring, we get these constant rivers and streams of mercy. God never ever runs out of it. So there are times where we think, and we've all been at these times where we say, God must have run out for me. I've asked for mercy so many times. I've asked for help for so many times. There's got to be a time where God finally says, no more mercy for you. And that's the way we often feel. We don't deserve any more mercy. So I want to remind you of a quick story, and I think it'll help you to understand God's mercy a little bit. You all know this story, but I just want to retell it for you. So I take you back to the Old Testament. The Israelites have just come out of Egypt, and everything is great, right? God is merciful. He's brought them out of slavery. They crossed the Red Sea on dry land. He's given them food and water. Everything is great. You know, pillar of fire and cloud. And so they get to the Mount Sinai. They camp out there. Everything is good. And God tells Moses, I want you to come up to the mountain. I'm going to give you, you know, I'm going to speak to you my words. So he does that, and he gets all kinds of commandments from God. He gets the Ten Commandments. He gets instructions for the tabernacle. Everything is good. Now Moses, as you remember, starts heading down the mountain with Joshua, and they start to hear something. What's that sound down there we hear in the camp? And they think at first maybe it's the cry of like there's a war going on. But it's not. It's the sound of singing. And they get down there, and what do they find? The people are singing and worshiping a cow. A cow. They melted their gold down and made a cow and started to worship it. Now, as you remember, Moses is furious. He takes those tablets with the Ten Commandments and breaks them into pieces. And God himself is angry too. And yet, after many days, Moses goes back up the mountain again. God has told him, come up, I'm going to give you two new tablets. And when Moses gets up there, I want to read you exactly, and I did put them on the bulletin insert this morning, but I want to read you exactly what God's words are after Moses has come up the second time and they have been, you know, they've sinned against him, worshiped this calf. This is what God says. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy and faithfulness. And the key word there is abounding. See, there are many times that God says he's merciful. But after they sin, after they worship this golden calf and Moses comes back up, he says, I'm a God abounding in mercy. In other words, I have mercy on top of mercy for my people. He abounds in it. The Israelites just made a calf and worshiped it, and God says, I'm abounding in mercy. Later on, the prophet Joel will say basically the same. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in mercy, and he relents from disaster. Now, one little clarification. Yes, if you look up these verses in your English Bible, they translate the words differently, because there's a lot of different Hebrew words there, and they might translate it steadfast love, loving kindness, or something else, and that's fine. But understand, this, the same Hebrew word is always there. Mercy, hesed, is the Hebrew word. So God's mercy abounds. Now, do you think Jesus then has enough mercy for you and me, for us? We don't deserve it, right? Certainly not. That's what the church is. We are always receiving people who don't deserve mercy. This is the club we belong to, the Need Mercy Club. Does Jesus have enough for us? I'll take you back one more time to the story with Bartimaeus here. And what's remarkable is that Jesus heals him and shows him mercy right after saying, hey guys, I'm going to Jerusalem to be killed there and rise again. I just picture if you're like going to the hospital and you're dying and the ambulance is, you know, going down the road and somebody's begging on the side of the road. Do you stop the ambulance to help the beggar when you're going and you're probably going to die? Jesus knows, says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and be killed, and, well, I'll stop here and help this beggar. That's the mercy that Jesus has. I mean, he abounds in mercy. He's going to the cross to be killed for our sin, and he stops and says, what else can I do for you? And we might say, Jesus, how could I possibly ask for anything else from you? You gave me your own life. You suffered and died for me on the cross, and yet I take it for granted, and I still am always sinning all the time. What could I possibly ask for? But Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Just ask. I abound in mercy. So then I would just ask you, what do you, each one of you, want Jesus to do for you? Because he is here in his word and in his sacrament. He is present here with us today. Bartimaeus, he says, I want to see. But what about you? What do you want Jesus to do for you? I think maybe on the top of our list is, Lord, have mercy, forgive my sin. That's probably at the top usually. Forgive me, Lord, for not loving you as I should. Forgive me for not praying. Forgive me for not reading your word. Forgive me for not loving my husband or wife as I should, or my neighbors as I should. Forgive me for my words, my thoughts, my actions. Lord, have mercy. And he does. He forgives. What else do you want Jesus to do for you? Maybe you need patience, like we talked about last week, the virtue of patience. So you say, Lord, have mercy on me. I need patience. Give me patience. Help me to not want everything right now. You know, help me to be able to enjoy each day without constantly thinking about the next day and worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. Give me patience, Lord. And he says, I have mercy for that. What else do you want Jesus to do for you? Maybe some of you pray, Lord, have mercy. Help me to forgive. Maybe you're carrying a grudge, holding on to others' sins, and you don't want to let them go, and you're filled with anger and hatred, and you need to pray, Lord, have mercy. Help me. Help me to forgive those who trespass against me, as I pray all the time. Help me to be kind to my enemies, to show love and compassion, even when they don't deserve it. Lord, have mercy. What else do you want Jesus to do for you? Maybe we need to pray, I think all of us do, Lord, have mercy on us. Help us not to be afraid to speak to others of you. There are so often we know what our friends and neighbors, that we know they need to hear about Jesus, but we're scared to say it. Lord, give us courage. Have mercy on us. Give us the help we need to shine your light so that others will see your glory. Or finally, one more. How about this one? What else do you want Jesus to do for you? How about our epistle today from 1 Corinthians 13? Lord, have mercy. Help me to love like that. Help me to love as you have loved me. To love without being envious or boastful. Help me to love without being irritable and resentful. Help me to love my husband, my wife, my children, my parents, my co-workers, my neighbors. All of them in a way that bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Lord, have mercy. Because in the end, we truly are all just beggars. But when Jesus is the one we're begging from, see, it's really good to be a beggar. We ask for mercy, whatever the help is that we need, and he says, I am a God abounding in mercy. The same God who went to the cross, have mercy on us. We keep going back to him, begging, Lord, have mercy. And we know that he will help us in our time of need. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.